pieces. It is, I think, quite Windows-conformant user interface application, simply because certain things that you would probably expect from a Windows program, cut, copy, and paste operations, drag and drop of nodes, etc., they are all in place, and they make Muse rather easy and convenient to use. It is not a pattern sequencer in the classic sense, where you have patterns of four or more bars running in circles. It's a fourth going long song that you would play through. Right now, it's a pure Linux application. At least it works right now on the classic Intel architecture, IA32. I learned yesterday from Frank van de Poel, who is over there, that it's also working after some hacking in the Gen 2 CVS for AMD 64 processors, and we hope this will be merged back into the main CVS tree. And I think you also saw reports about PPC versions working. About Alpha and the remaining architectures, I have no idea. And Muse is, of course, a GPL project, which is maybe not so common, but we are on a Linux open source event, so it is nice to know that this is still a GPL product. A historical summary, how it started off. Now, this is information that I gathered from Werner from some phone talks and visits. It started off as a pure XLab program, very raw, direct to the metal, or bare to the metal software in 1999 or even 2000. What do you suggest? Yeah, roughly 99, I think. It soon evolved into a TK script, which communicated with a handcrafted kernel driver to do timing stable MIDI, and then used OSS to actually output the MIDI data to your MIDI devices. At that time, due to this handcrafted driver, it had acceptable MIDI timing stability, even without the stuff that we know today, like real-time preempt patches or low-latency patches. In roughly 2001, I'm not sure about this date either, there was a switch going away from TK because maintenance became too difficult, so we then opted for C++, using Qt as the user interface toolkit, and then after some point, you also started using ELSA for the audio support and also for MIDI support instead of OSS, which was used so far. Of course, soon other libraries were integrated as well. We have the lib sound file for import of WAV files, and at some point, even in 2002, I believe, the jack support was introduced, and by now it is the only audio output. So for a while, you had the choice if you want your audio output to be going through an ELSA PCM device or to go to jack. And this was, once again, a decision. It was too complicated to maintain both parts, so now it is just jack and nothing else. Well, and ever since then, it has grown wildly, I think. So features were added, bugs were fixed, were known, and it is slowly maturing now. The core features. Okay, obviously, it's got MIDI support through ELSA, and ELSA allows it to be completely transparent if you're talking to internal, that means software MIDI devices, or external hardware devices. In my case, for instance, I have a keyboard here, which is connected to an USB MIDI interface, and from there I go into my PC, so this is a hardware MIDI port. But I could also just start any software synthesizer, like the Syndet SuperFX, which we will be hearing about in roughly half an hour. This is a purely software synthesizer, also with ELSA support, so you can just address that one like an external MIDI device. There's no real difference from the user point of view. We have sound support, of course, through jack exclusively. We have synchronization through the jack transport protocol. For those who don't know it, the idea is roughly that your jack sound server is keeping a timeline of where in your song you are just right now, and any client connecting to it can send commands like let's rewind to the start, let's play, let's pause, let's skip forward, and all other connected clients will, which are also transport enabled, will listen to this. So Muse also has jack transport support. We have unlimited undo redo, which is very handy for those who know editors that can just do a single step of going back. If you notice your mistakes too late, then you have maybe lost a few hours of work, so you can really start composing a whole song and then go back with Control Z step by step to the beginning of your song again and start from there. You have another typical feature which is also known from the more comfortable programs, click to select nodes, drag a borderline to select a group of nodes, drag them around, transpose nodes. We have at least right now two built-in editors, the piano roll editor, which is the classic way where you have a, oh, I'll just show you in a picture how this looks like. This one shows it roughly, it's slightly hidden, so it's in the top left corner. You can see a part of a keyboard, time is extending to the right, and the keyboard, of course, lower notes are at the bottom part, higher notes are at the top part, and this is just the way, and the width of those small spots determines the length of the notes. This is the piano roll editor, and there's another one, the drum editor, which looks similar, but does have some different appearances when you want to create especially drum tracks. This is something that perhaps Matthias could talk more about if I had given him time to do so. I have not, so I can just say it's a different way of editing notes, and it is much more convenient for drum tracks. We have a mess, a real mess, which is called the Muse Extensible Software, Experimental Software Synthesizer. It's somewhat like VST, for those who come from the Windows world, Virtual Instruments. It is right now very local to Muse. It has not been adopted by any other software, and we right now have, I think, roughly four mass instruments. One is just a very simple sine wave generator. One produces organ-like sounds. One is a fluid synth implementation, so you can read sound font files and play them back. Then we have the Simple Drums by Matthias, a very simple drum synthesizer. And we have the DX11, which is French for DX11, by Aline Weiler from France, a software emulation of the Yamaha DX11 synthesizer. I think I got all, or did I miss anyone? Any pieces, any other synths? This is the one I could think of right now. We have a built-in audio mixer with inserts, as you know, from a real mixer, and those inserts can be filled in with LUTZBA plugins. So this is right now, I think, a pretty much standard way of hooking up any effect or other sound manipulating algorithms into your signal chain. So you can pick from a rich pool of compressors, limiters, noisers, denoisers, reverb effects, flange, echo, and anything. I think it's roughly like 100 plugins by now, some perhaps low quality, some very good quality, and all these are available in this mixer inside Muse. And of course, this routing or this whole mixer system also allows you to, say, bounce tracks. This is also known from the Windows world. I think should be roughly visible here. In this big window at the top, you see several tracks, and now assume you have a couple of audio tracks there, and they have all their own plugins for putting some compressor here, putting some reverb there. At some point, you will reach your computer's maximum CPU power, and then the only solution is to just take a few tracks and merge them and bounce them to a new wave track, and then remove the other ones. I don't think if we have a freeze feature like in Cubase right now that you can leave them in place, but just not have them included into the signal chain. This might be a feature request. He's nodding. It is a feature request. this is what I call mix down to file or mix down to a new audio track. It's pretty much the same. The output can also go to a new file on your hard disk and from there using CD record onto a CD. And we have support for the FreeST hack. This is an attempt to bring VST instruments from the Windows world into Linux. It's using Wine, the Windows emulation layer, as its basis. And it was a big hot topic last year at this conference, where Paul Davis demonstrated some plugins from Native Instruments working under Linux natively. Still, it is remaining a hack, and I say this because it runs for some, it doesn't run for others. For me, it doesn't work simply because I'm not so up to date with packages, glibc, kernel, and whatever. For Werner, it runs because he's always on the bleeding edge. he's done some investigation what the problem is. I don't know if this can be fixed cleanly ever, so it is a fragile target. Still, of course, it will attract lots of users who want to do this kind of thing. Weak spots. Yes, we do have weak spots. The development process is quite furious sometimes, and Werner is unfortunately known for always trying to get the latest stuff, the latest Qt, the latest glibc. I think you once told me that you are even rebuilding glibc from CVS yourself.
It's a curse.
Yeah, it's even a curse to do this. So If he finds some feature he needs for Muse, he will just install whatever is required to make it on his machine. Of course, for those of us who depend on, say, Debian with a package-based system, it can take weeks or months that these packages are actually built, or years, yes, it differs. Use Gentoo is the comment from Frank van der Poel. Okay, I won't comment on that, I love my Debian. Still, the problem is that it is hard to follow and to have all the packages in place, but it's maybe slowly getting better. Normally, if you're a real geek, I guess you can keep up the pace, but I think we were able to threaten out some users who just didn't find the time to follow all of these packages. But I think it's improving. Our documentation is still somewhat weak. It has improved a lot since Joachim took over the domain, the musesequencer.org domain, where he's built up a very nice wiki, which is used currently for documentation, and this could be the source for a real print version. For developers, we have very little documentation right now, and one idea could be to use the Doxygen tool, for instance, which means you put commentary of your methods and classes right into the source code, and let this tool create HTML code from that. This is just one suggestion. I think there are more tools that could do the same thing, but this would allow to create or semi-automatically create documentation for prospective new developers. The wiki, as I said, is in place and shaping up quite nicely. And a real manual, which you can just print out and have on your lap while you experiment with a program, this is now in planning. We had quite some discussions what format to use. Should we prefer HTML or PDF, which is the most used format? And right now, it seems like we are going for a LaTeX variant called Context. And hopefully, this will begin soon. The overall stability, at least of the CVS version, is questionable sometimes. The CVS version, of course, it is not supposed to be stable. It is Werner's playground and of those who contribute as well. But this is normally not a big problem as long as we have stable releases. So we can tell users, use just 0.7.1 and you will be happy. Use the CVS version and you might be happy or you might curse for weeks. All of this is actively being worked on, of course, and like every year we try to improve, or you try to improve, and I try to tell that you try to improve. Future plans. We have plans for both sides, for the users and for the developers. For the users, the next currently 0.8 labeled Muse version will have a new look. This is due to something which you find on the next slide. For developers, a new layer has been introduced between the user interface toolkit, QT, and the actual application, some kind of abstraction, and this will bring with it a new look, which will Muse look much more like Ableton Live. So you will see some sliders and things that appear quite simple, not much shades and arrows and lines. It's just the basic forms, and they are very simple to, or very quick to grasp with your eye. The next Muse will also have better synchronization with external MIDI devices. We are talking about MIDI clock, for instance, and I don't know what other methods are there, like MMC, or MMC, is it that? And maybe even SMPTE. For details, ask that guy, I think down here, with the impressive beard. An import function for old songs, which were done with the previous 0.6 version of Muse. I don't know if this will be integrated into the program, but Robert Jonsson has written a script to convert them into the current format because there was some changes in the structure of the song files. So right now you cannot load old 0.6 songs, but with the script hopefully it should be possible to load them as well. And the biggest step, perhaps, that should be at the top of the list, is that we will be having complete automation of all controllers. That means you have, for instance, in one signal chain, a LUTzBar plugin, say an echo or a filter. Yeah, this filter has a few controls, like its cutoff frequency, its resonance, maybe some gain, whatever. And all of these controls will be visible in Muse, and you will be able to record them and play them back later. This is total automation, a very exciting feature, and I hope this will stabilize soon. What will also be in there, what is already in CVS now, is support for the DSSI, the Disposable Soft Synth Interface. This was conceived by Steve Harris, Chris Canham, and Sean Bolton. It is their attempt to bring a VST-like soft synth interface into the Linux world before the big official one, which will be called GMPI, is released. This GMPI is a consortium trying to get cross-platform synth plugins or synth interfaces, but this is a consortium, which means they have to discuss for years and years and years. Right now, there is no code yet. In the meantime, DIZZY is there to support us. And there are a few quite interesting DIZZY synthesizers right now, one of them emulating the DX7 from Yamaha, which is pretty impressive. I can tell because I have the original at home, and I compared quite a lot of the sounds, and they sound really very similar. Of course, another future plan for the users should be to improve stability. Certainly, as I said, stable releases will be marked as such, and which is in CVS is up to your own, if you want to try it or not. But I guess with the system in place now with bug tracking through SourceForge and Robert doing a very good job at hunting down bugs, at talking back to bug reporters, this could also improve or will improve in the future. Future plans for the developer side. What I just spoke about, the new look, this is reflected in a better modularization of the source code. We will have two somewhat, I think, maybe stand-alone libraries even, the AWL, the Audio Widget Library, and the Audio Library. The Audio Widget Library is just what you would expect. It gives you a couple of widgets for sliders, for knobs, and other controls, which can be reused even by other applications. Of course, Muse will be the first user of this library. And the Audio Library will be generic audio support functions, I guess. Also, there is a large rewrite of the entire MIDI routing code currently working, currently underway. This is something that we talked about yesterday in our workshop meeting, and this was still, I think, receiving quite some heated comments from different sides. Also, those MES plugins, which are currently hardwired into the Muse source code tree, they will be separated out so that it will be easier for new developers to learn how to develop their own MES plugins if they choose to do so. So right now you have to know the correct place in the source tree where you want to add in your files, and you have to know which makefile.am you have to edit to bring it in there, but it's not possible to build MES plugins standalone in some other directory. This will be handled by that item. And we also thought we had sometimes bug reports about my MIDI file doesn't work correctly. Either it makes Muse stumble, it doesn't have proper timing. So the idea was if we can create a demo song regression test suite to improve on such weak spots. This is something that I will also ask the community to help with if people find MIDI files which don't work properly, as files as small, as handy as possible, so that you can analyze what is going wrong. This is very much sought for. Some conclusions. The current 0.7 or stable branch, why did I put stable in parentheses? The stable branch is really quite stable today. We have people using it. We have people making sound and music with it. And I guess Robert can also state this, that if you do a 5-minute song, or maybe even longer, and you do quite a bit of mixing, mastering with it, and it doesn't crash for you after hours and hours, then we can call it stable by now. It is used, like I said, for hobbyist productions. I don't know of any commercial applications yet, but if there are any, I would love to hear about them so that we can add this to our Hall of Fame. So 0.7 somewhat works, time to break it. That's why 0.8 will be coming up with lots of cool stuff, as I just explained to you. We do need volunteers. Right now, the team is still quite small. We have these 5 guys, plus me. We have a few users reporting bugs. We have very few users contributing. The Muse list is not all that stable, not all that active. So I think we have roughly like maybe 2 or 3 mails per day, not that much more. Sometimes it's heating up a bit, but normally the traffic is quite low. If you want to join, listen for a while, you're very much invited to do so. We need people to, for instance, step in with documentation, testing, reporting bugs that they find, reproducible bugs, and even if possible, some more developers. Right now, Werner is still the main maintainer with a few other guys helping in. But more developers will certainly help to improve on the quality of code. So if you want to join us, we have a few links for you. We have the musesequencer.org domain, where everything important is located. Musa used to be on another site by the company, at the company where Werner is working. Then it has been moved to SourceForge. Then we at some point found, or Joachim found, that SourceForge is sometimes just too unreliable, like in its abilities to install scripts for a wiki. So then we moved again, now at musasequencer.org, and all of the old links will just forward you to this one. One interesting part of this site is that we have in the wiki a tour, a guided tour, which shows you the main features, which I just tried to outline here with lots of nice screenshots. We have, of course, the obligatory frequently asked questions. We have a Hall of Fame, where you will find a couple of links to people who have made music with Muse and their soft or hardware synthesizers. Then a few words about this Muse score. In, I think, roughly 2002, Muse was also having a score editor in place. However, it never worked all that stable, and at some point it was found to be completely unusable, so Werner removed the code, and this has now been taken into an extra project called Muse Score, or MScore for short, which is currently on SourceForge. He has done a release of that project just a few days ago, he told me, so this was something he was working on for quite a while in the last, I guess, 8 weeks or maybe 12 weeks. Now he's going back to Muse development, which I'm very happy about. Muse Score is currently on its own. It can read music XML files, MIDI files, and Muses.med files. It's maturing quite a lot. Maybe at some point it will be merged back or joined to Muse, but it's for now a separate program, and its main intention is really to just set scores, print them, and play them back in a very simple MIDI fashion. So this is also worth a view. I have seen demonstrations on his laptop which looked very impressive. And the last one is just a link that I found on the web. Holosun.com is a wonderful resource for those who, like me, love classic samples from analog drum machines, analog synthesizers. It's a guy, I don't remember his name, but he is collecting all kinds of old Roland, Carvi and other drum machines, sampling them and putting together nice zip archives of the samples you received, and you will find a wonderful wealth of packages down there. So, if there are questions, ask them. Otherwise, I just say go along and muse. And I see the first questions. Can some of you please take the microphone and hand it around for me? I like to stay here. Albert.
Albert Graef, Germany. Frank, you mentioned Ableton Live. Are there any plans to add a session interface as well?
I guess this is something Werner would love to answer. Would you, Werner? Take the microphone. He does not want to. I would love him to do. Session interface. We have one problem for sure, which is right now session management is weak. That is, any synthesizer which is internal in the MES interface will be restarted correctly when you start Muse. External interfaces. Okay, he was a different question. Otherwise, please re-ask the question. Just. No, sorry. Wait on.
Sure.
just ask again. Sorry.
Okay, thanks. What I meant is the improvisation and explorative composition interface. Ableton Live has both the timeline and another kind of interface which looks like a spreadsheet where you can put up your audio and MIDI clips and then start them and combine them and explore things. So that's really, that would be killer thing to have on Linux. We don't have any sequencer software right now which does this.
Well, we do have a couple of sequencer packages for pattern-based sequencing, like Specimen, for instance.
Yeah, but that's...
SAQ24, sorry.
Yes, it's just, you can just click on the clips and explore how they work together and improvise in real time, so that's the thing that I mean. Yeah, I thought about that, but not reinvent the wheel too often, that's not a good idea, so I would have to put the infrastructure, sequencer infrastructure in place and OC interfaces, and so it's much work.
I think what you have on your mind is a little too much right now. And yeah. You saw the team is so small, so having these kinds of abilities, also I guess you might think about the time stretching features of Ableton. Yeah. This is something for the not distant, but a few years away.
Medium
future.
Term.
Yeah, for medium term. Yeah. Right now, I think it's just about having the new look in place, having those libraries separated out, the AWL and AL, and make that work. This is only about functionality, not about adding those new big blocks of features.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Okay. More questions?
Right, Peter Brinkmann, Germany. I'm still trying to figure out which sequencer would be the right one for me. So you would help me a lot if you could say position Musa relative to other sequencers, Rose Garden in particular.
I guess Cubase is better.
All right.
Difficult to say. I think for Rose Garden, the design was much more on score editing, which was one of the goals of Musa once, but right now we are mostly about the piano roll editor. I have to admit, I don't run Rose Garden at all because it requires KDE, and I'm not having any KDE, or not even much of the GNOME stuff on my computer. It's just a very simple window manager, and that's it. I accept Qt and GTK libraries, but I don't accept KDE, so I've never run Rose Garden myself. And if anyone else has something to add about Rose Garden's features compared to Musa features, I would like him to explain this, but I cannot comment, sorry. There is one question from IRC, way back.
Hello. Alex from London, England wants to know, does Musa support plug-in delay compensation with MES, DSSI, LATSPA, etc.? And does it support controller likes like the Mackie control?
That's something I'd love Bernard to explain, if he can.
Does not, first. And this controller interface is considered in one of the next versions, I think.
Okay, I guess that answers it. Any more questions? Any more volunteers to join the project? Raise your hands. No one does. Okay, then thank you all very much. And I hope to see you soon on the mailing list, or otherwise contact us about features you want to see, bugs you have found, or anything else. Thank you very much. Thank you. And now we'll have the usual break of 10, 15 minutes. We go on at 2:30 with Paul Nasker on his Synapse FX. See you then.